Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's has served the Valley for decades. Whether it's auto, home, life, business, they'll find you the right insurance so you're covered. They'll stay in constant communication with you to make sure you're covered. They'll get you the best price every time. And if there's a claim, they go to work for you as if it happened to them. Why? For a simple reason, customer service means everything to them. It's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And thus begins another week. Sean, great to have you on board.
Yes, sir. Great weekend. Hope you had one. We did, too.
Well, we'll get into the basketball part in a moment. We'll start with football. Lamont Wade has decided that, remember I was telling you the Wade was the one guy I kept looking at saying I'm not so sure he's gone? He's decided to come back to Penn State. He is three semesters shy of his degree, and he is going to stay at Penn State. That will help in many ways. He obviously will compete for a starting spot during the spring and preseason. But there's another element, too. It does give Penn State valuable depth, whether he starts or not, at that safety spot. If it turns out that he's the starter and Jonathan Sutherland's coming off the bench or vice versa, at least now you have veteran depth at that spot. That is going to be very important moving forward for Penn State. That's what I've talked about with most of the players that have opted for the transfer database. I've talked about the depth part of it. Penn State has not been losing starters in the transfer database, but they have lost depth. And in some cases, some of the younger players have pushed their way up the depth chart. Wade was one of those guys that I looked at and thought, okay, well, that's a spot on the field where keeping him would not hurt the cause. You know, him staying would not hurt the cause because that's an area where you'd like to have a veteran who's played corner, a veteran who's played safety, a veteran who has played nickel, a veteran who has played dime. He's done all of that. He knows what Brent Pry and Tim Banks want to do and why. So I think that was important for Penn State. Now, let's see, a big week for wrestling. Because they get the Jordan Center on Friday night when they take on Michigan. Large crowd, in all probability, won't guarantee it, but in all probability, a sellout crowd. The reason they won't guarantee it is that they haven't always sold out the Jordan Center. A couple times they haven't, but I mean, because it's a lot of seats. But the timing is good. Friday night at 7 o'clock, that's really good. Remember, they wrestled one time because of TV, Ohio State at 6 o'clock on a Friday night once at the Jordan Center. And it caused a traffic backup, backlog, and so forth. But, again, you can't sit there and constantly complain about, I wish we were on TV more. Then you get on TV and they change the start time. You're like, well, I'm sorry, welcome to my world. Kickoffs at noon, kickoffs at 4, kickoffs at 3:30, kickoffs at 7, kickoffs at 9. Tip-off is at 9, tip-offs at 8:30, 8, 7:30, 7, 6:30, 6, tip-offs at 4:30, 4:15, noon. Yeah, you want me to continue? So, you understand when you do football and basketball, you're a TV show. But this time it's going to be a 7 o'clock start, perfect. Friday night, really good. I think the weather looks okay on Friday, really good. And they should get a large crowd, if not a sellout, in the Jordan Center for Michigan.
Yeah, we'll just keep our fingers crossed with Roman Bravo Young. sustained a little bit of a knee injury during the duel last Friday night. That was actually rare to see a Penn State with a forfeit yesterday at the Indiana duel. Obviously made no effect with the team score, but just hopefully nothing long-term for RBY as they continue to move forward.
Well, there's so much time left in the season.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, my goodness, Nolf got hurt last year against Rutgers. Got back in time to blitz the field in Cleveland.
And he just keeps pinning people left and right. It's, what, 56 career pins now, I believe?
Yeah, he and Bo keep going back and forth on that one.
It's like, can you top this?
Well, it's a great situation to be in. They're
sure
both great
is.
Wrestlers. Vincenzo Joseph's been great. Mark Hall's been great. I mean, they're getting a lot out of so many people. Kassar's been great.
Well, I know you had the conversation last time you had a chance to speak with Ironhead Jeff Byers. You had asked him specifically about Devin Schnupp at 25. He finally got his first conference win yesterday.
Yeah,
so good for
that
him.
That was big for him. And Jeff's going to join us on the show Friday, by the way. We will have Jeff on Friday's show. And with that one coming up, now let's get to the basketball part. I I'm not going to sit here and tell you, like, oh, they lost to a really good team in Rutgers, because I'd be lying to you if I said that. I mean, Rutgers has done better, and they won the game Saturday. One quick note, the call with about a minute to go, a minute four, minute five to go in the game, where Rajir Bolton got the ball, they played terrific defense, and the shot clock was out. And he got the ball and was tied up. You saw that Rutgers got the ball on the alternate possession, but instead of having one or a fraction put up on the shot clock, they put 30 up. You're probably wondering, wait a minute, what kind of call was that? Here's what happened. The officials made a great call on that play, and here's the reason why. That ball actually hit or grazed the rim, which meant that the shot clock recycles to 30. Rozier got the ball eventually, tie up, goes to Rutgers, fresh 30. That's the reason why. And, it was primarily DJ Carstensen and Brian Dorsey, I believe, that made that call and looked at the replay. And they saw that the ball grazed the rim. And because it did, there was a 30 on the shot clock, and they made the right call. It does bring up, though, the other factor of, we talk about luck when you're not going well. Luck enters into it, and on the luck factor, you're sitting there and you play terrific defense in the clutch, and they did. The shot clock was running out, and you still don't get the ball even when you get the ball. That is a luck factor. Now let's get to a couple parts about Penn State basketball. I'm not going to get into the nonsense about somebody going or staying or anything like that. I don't play games with other people's their profession. And I'm going to keep my personal friendship with Pat out of it, because that also doesn't become fair either. Okay? So let's talk overall and some big picture stuff. Number one, I have done, obviously, a lot of seasons here at Penn State, which means I've seen a wide variety of seasons. And I've done seasons where Penn State has had several 20-point losses during the course of a season. Several. And I've talked about margin of error being thin and so forth. And when I was talking about margin of error in those years being thin, it was always in reference to being competitive. The margin of error is thin for them to be competitive. Because obviously when you're losing consistently by 20-plus points, and Penn State's had a few seasons like that over the years. Happened in the 80s, happened in the 90s, happened in the 2000s. I've done those seasons. You know that your team is not competitive. It's just the way it is. That's not this team. This team isn't suffering 20-point losses. One after another after another. All of a sudden you get to the middle of the second half and everybody's looking around like, okay, you know, I can turn the TV off. I can turn the radio off. I can go home. That's not what's happening. They played 20 games this year. 10 of them have gone to the final minute, separated by a point or two. Admittedly, 2-8 in those games. In other words, the inability to close. But it's not just the end. Remember, games are lost at different times during the course of an afternoon or an evening. Penn State has consistently had a drought in the first half of a game that has either caused them to lose a lead or then have to fight back. And then they get a drought at some point in maybe 2-3 minutes, whatever it may be, in the second half. So they've got to eliminate those. Offensively, you heard Patrick Chambers talk about, look, we had really good offense on Saturday. You're saying they got 60 points. Except when, if you actually watch the game and know what they're trying to do, the quality of shot they had should have led to a 75-point afternoon. Should have, in actuality, two different things, but that should have led to a 75-point afternoon. For whatever reason, good shooters on this team, and they have several. Believe me, Jones can shoot. Bolton can shoot. Dredd can shoot. And Reeves can shoot. I mean, there are guys that can shoot. So just to let you know, let's be straight about what I see in practice. A guy like Jamari Wheeler is not a great shooter. He's just not. If you look at how he shoots free throws, you feel like it's a bonus when he hits an outside shot in a game. Okay, just the way it is. Now, what Jamari does is he steadies the team offensively. He had 4 assists, no turnovers on Saturday. He's a terrific defender. He helps you win or be competitive in other ways. Shooting's not his forte. So let's not pretend it is not. But Jones can shoot, has struggled shooting. Bolton has struggled shooting. Bolton's only 3 for his last 24 in threes. And this is a guy that should be a 40% plus guy. Now, Dredd's been playing well. Dredd's like 25 his last 55 in threes. He's been terrific. Saturday, yeah, he didn't have the greatest shooting day, but he's been in a really good stretch, and every once in a while you run into one of those. I mean, Carson Edwards yesterday, who's just an awesome player shooter, was 4 of 19 against Michigan State. Just had one of those days. Penn State fans are saying, too bad it can't be Thursday. Because Edwards is really good. All right, so that happens. But this is not a team that is getting blown out by 20 points on a consistent basis like some other teams I've seen in my 37 years of doing this. This is a team that is competitive in every game against a tough schedule. Competitive. Now, you've got to find a way to get over the hump. Where you make that last play, you make you stay out of that critical drought that costs you a lead. They've got to be able to overcome that, and your veterans need to step up. Lamar's been terrific. He's shouldered a lot. Everything's tilted in his direction. But Josh Reeves has got to be a 10.5 rebound, 5 assist guy for you. He got hurt before the game. I'm not even going to get into it in pregame warm-up, whatever. But he's got to be looking at the finish line of this thing. And he's got to put together numbers like that. Mike Watkins, for whatever reason, 70%. There are a lot of factors I'm not going to get into. But those are two, quote, veterans you are counting on in this thing to then maybe make the difference in the 10 games I just talked about. Now you're saying, what about the other 10 games? There's only 2 of the other 10 games I've been out of, Wisconsin and Michigan State. Everything, even the Michigan game, they were competitive. The other games, Penn State either won with ease or whatever. But you've got these 10 games where they're 2-8. So this is not the team that's, oh, they're awful. No, awful teams get blown out by 20 points over and over and over again. I've witnessed it. Okay? This team isn't that team. There's been a lot of talk about money in Penn State basketball and about the Jordan Center. So I'm going to come back in a moment. We'll talk about that because I think a lot of people have done some good research and made some interesting points. We'll discuss that in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay. there have been several items that have been brought up about Penn State basketball, and you know, people have done some good research, written some good articles dealing with expenses, revenue, finances. I'll get to that in a second. I want to start with the Jordan Center. A lot of people have said, oh, you need a new arena, you got to blow it up, whatever. Look, I understand that. Believe me, the first time I walked into a practice there, because, look, when you broadcast games in 148 different arenas, which I have, it's not like I haven't seen them all as to how they're built and made, okay? All right, just on pure observation, I think I can be pretty good at this. And the first time I walked in, I looked there and I go, parts are really nice, and other parts don't quite make sense. But that's regardless. Right? And moving back to rec hall is impractical because you're already selling more tickets in your building than rec hall has, and you're in a revenue sharing sport where based on attendance and tickets paid is what's needed in the revenue share for the Big Ten. So I mean, you got to be smart about this. You have to understand what the parameters happen to be. So you've got to make do and make the best of what you have to work with. Maybe down the road you get a new arena. If that works, that's awesome. That's great. They can then design it right there where basketball is the thought process, like a Mackey Arena at Purdue. But have they done a great job with marketing and promotions? Yes. Have they done the best with putting the atmosphere and the idea and how they're making it move in the Jordan Center? Yes, they're doing all of that. So they're making the best of the situation they have. The key component, obviously, is winning. When Penn State last year hit some stride, hit some momentum, had that big win over Ohio State on the road on Tony's three-point shot, they averaged 11,500 per game in the last five home games of the year. And most of those, I think three of the five, were weekdays. So they averaged 11.5 for those. So people will respond to winning basketball. That's the key ingredient. But are they doing a great job of marketing and promotion? Yes. Are they doing a great job of working on the atmosphere in the Jordan Center? Yes, they're doing that. Now you do need that component of winning. And again, this team has come up just short over and over again against a really tough schedule. Now, Rutgers was not part of that really tough schedule, right? So let's be straight about it. I want to talk about the money part next half hour, and then we're going to bring in Ben Jones, StateCollege.com, and get his take on the team in the next half hour. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Mark Lawrence, great job as always. I'm going to check out Sunrise. And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. The Purdy's have served this valley for decades. Whether it's auto, home, life, business, I mean, they're your complete insurance outlet. They'll find you the best price, the right coverage. They'll update it for you. If there's a claim, they'll jump right in as if it happened to them. Because customer service is number one. That's at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. So in the opening half hour, I talked about a couple of things. And then I'm going to get to the money part here in a second. Number one, we talked about the competitiveness of the basketball team. They've been playing, but for the most part has been between 2, 3, or 4 in terms of the toughest schedule in the country. Okay. You got to win some games. There's no getting around it. The inability to close, but sometimes the inability to close emanates from a drought that happens for 2 or 3 minutes of the first half. You got to be able to look beyond just the end of the game. You got to find out parts of the game that causes you to be in that spot. They usually have one of those droughts in the first and one of those in the second, and that's putting them in a spot where now they've got to fight to the finish in a game. They're 2-8 in those 10 games after the game on Saturday. I've done seasons where there have been multiple, and when I mean multiple, beyond five, sometimes as many as 8 or 9 20-point blowouts. Those teams are, without question, not competitive. You're not playing competitive basketball at that point. I used to talk in those days about a small margin of error. Well, my small margin of error talk was that to get them competitive, to put them in a game, it was a small margin of error. That's not this team. This team is competitive in almost every game except the Wisconsin game and really Michigan State. Even Michigan, although in the end Michigan, you know, put together enough of an advantage on the road. Okay. But everything else, not just competitive, but ultra competitive. We know they don't shoot well, even though they've got guys that can shoot. That's what's been maddening about this team. Jones can shoot. I mean, look, I'm in practice. I see it all the time. Jones can shoot. Dredd can shoot. Bolton can shoot. Reeves can shoot. You know, and to let you know that in terms of my evaluation about fairness, Jamari Wheeler's not a good shooter, but he's better at running the team, and he's an outstanding defender, so he can help close that gap on margin of error by other areas in which he plays in. So I discussed all of that in the opening of the show. Then I talked about the Jordan Center. People want to blow it up. Okay, they wanted to blow it up forever. I got it. You know, tear it down, build a new arena, whatever. Which, of course, takes money. There's a bottom line. Bottom line right now is that that is your arena. So make the best of it. I think the marketing and promotions people have done the best with it. I think the atmosphere they're trying to put in there, they've done the best with it. The key is, of course, winning basketball. People want more than just competitive. They want you over the hump and winning games the way they did, especially last year. The last five regular season home games, fans responded because they liked what they saw, and they averaged 11,500 per game in those five games. Okay. So that we've established all of that. Now let's get to the money part. There have been some very thoughtful articles written about money and Penn State basketball, where research has been done. They've looked at the expenses versus the revenue and so forth. And they've written articles about it. Those articles are accurate in terms of the numbers that they put out there. But there's more to it than just the numbers in terms of how you're funded, how, you know, and so forth. Penn State, especially in this decade, has had a very delicate balance financially. And it's something Sandy Barber inherited. Remember, this is the only university that has had to pay its fine, $60 million worth, and because they're autonomous, they also then took out a bridge loan. Now, I think, I'm pretty sure, I don't have it confirmed, but I'm pretty sure now that they've paid that bridge loan back or off. And, of course, the fine part is over with. But it also means you have to be in a recovery period, too, which makes the balance on the books, at least right now, more delicate. Because they've had to take care of things that in the past you never had to take care of. And I think that has to be brought into account as to why you look at how much is spent on basketball versus the return, where the money's going, and other items, because that's the one element in everything I've read that has not been brought out for an autonomous athletic department about that balance based on the fine and the bridge loan that they've had to take care of. That's part of the balance. Would I love to see more money poured into basketball? Of course I would. Of course I would. But this is a broad-based program of 31 sports. This is not Clemson. Clemson has 19 sports. This is not Alabama. They've got 21. It's not Georgia. They got 21. It is not, well, Texas. I mean, Texas who has, what, 17? This is 31. More slices of pie. So in that delicate balance, there's a certain number Penn State must get to ticket-wise in Beaver Stadium as an average. In that balance, there's also seven home games you need to have. That's part of the balance. And basketball and doing its part is part of the balance as well. So there's a lot of parts of the balance to get Penn State back on track financially. Now, it's helped. The TV contracts have helped. The radio contracts helped. Football team success has really helped. And I realize when you look at basketball, you're saying that's a program that makes money, invest in it. And that's how business is run. You actually invest in what makes money. You don't pour money down a hole that loses money. But when you have 31 sports and a broad-based program like Penn State has, and a couple of the obstacles they've had to overcome in recent years, that's why the balance has been even more delicate than ever. And I think that's got to be at least brought out and brought into the light when you're looking at the numbers that Penn State is putting out and how they've had to balance the books. And it's been a little more difficult here than the other 13 universities in the Big Ten because of some of the obstacles and hurdles they've had to clear that others haven't. Well, I want to at least bring that out and remind everybody of that, because that is not in the distant past. So there are more factors than just the surface numbers. And I understand this, the analysis of the surface numbers. Hey, numbers are numbers. They're right there in front of you. But there are also some other circumstances surrounding it that I think people have forgotten. Or, better yet, have tried to forget. So I hope it at least opens and sheds some light on certain issues surrounding this. Now, look, just go out and win. Boy, it would make the conversation so much easier. Just go out and win. Bring more money in. You can get people more excited. Okay? You got to do that. I understand that. All right. Let's bring in Ben Jones, statecollege.com. Hello, Ben. Great to have you with us.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I appreciate that. Yeah.
All right, Saturday's game. Dick Girardi and I am watching the game in terms of how we saw them run the offense. We thought that was a 75-point offense in terms of open shots, and they only got 60 out of it. Sometimes is it that simple for a team? Oh, and I want to make, in terms of shots, I want to make a quick point on a call that was made. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it is. You know, you get open looks, and that's really been the tale of the tape a lot, you know, this year and in years past is, you know, you can have a great set, you can run a great play. They take, you know, 24 threes and make six of them. You know, you make a few more and suddenly the game's a little different. So sometimes it's just as simple as, are you open and are you hitting them? And if you're not, sometimes you just lose because of it.
And I want to make one quick point about the call with a minute to go in the game where Rozier Bolton got the ball, got tied up, and, you know, I know Dick and I were looking at, okay, well, it could be shot clock expired, or it could be that there's going to be 1 second left in the shot clock, and all of a sudden they put up 30. To the credit of the officials, the ball did graze and hit the rim. That meant it was a new shot clock, thus they had to put it at 30. The officials, to their credit, made the right call on that play. I just want to make sure everybody knew that, Ben, moving forward.
But, yeah, I mean, that's obviously a huge moment in that game. And I think, you know, you look just from the standpoint of these things that have gone against Penn State, you know, either by self-inflicted wounds or just a bit of bad luck late in a lot of these games. You know, that's a difference in 30 seconds is a difference in 20 seconds. I believe that, you know, Penn State fouled on that ensuing possession. It's just, you know, one of these things when it's close and late, it goes against you and suddenly you've got an even, you know, bigger uphill battle to climb. And I think it would be different if it was maybe last year's team that had a lot more sort of self-confidence. And not that these guys aren't confident, but I think, you know, the fact of the matter is when you're 0-8 and looking at the opportunity to be 0-9,
right,
a lot of things creep into the back of your mind and suddenly, you know, you're gripping the ball a little tighter. There's a little bit less confidence there. So, you know, even if it is the right call, it's something that goes against you, something right. that you thought you had finally done right, and now you've got to deal with that, too.
At, you play great defense for 30 seconds, and they played great defense in that sequence and got nothing out of it. And it's just, again, that's the luck of the game as to how it turned out. But the officials made the right call. So it was not a bad call. It was quite the opposite that they made on that particular play. All right, so Ben, now moving forward, and they've got to move forward. They've got a big matchup against Purdue coming up. Purdue played really well yesterday. I would say they, you know, they looked terrific, but they only shot 36% and won the game yesterday. What's your thoughts on them, and especially on Carson Edwards?
Yeah, I mean, I think Carson Edwards is obviously, you know, one of the best players in the country. I think he gets a little overlooked sometimes just because he's not, you know, as flashy as Zion. They play different positions, first of all, but, you know, he's out there. He's consistent. He can shoot at the three. He can get to the basket. He can find his teammates. It's nice to see him back and healthy, and it really,
yes.
You know, Purdue goes as he goes, and he's done, you know, exceptionally well for himself over the years. You know, obviously, you know, when you look at from Penn State side of things, you've got to slow him down, but that's really, you know, it's almost one of those things where you go, he's going to score 20. Can we keep him from 30? Or he's going to score 15. Can we keep him from 20? You know, you're just trying to slow him down because you're never going to be able to stop him. But I think, you know, inside and out Purdue's as balanced as they come. Purdue's Purdue. I mean, you know what to expect from a program like that and from that team under Matt Painter. So I think for Penn State, it comes down to assignment, and it also comes down to, you know, I think we've said this, you know, time and time again, you know, it just comes down to avoiding the self-inflicted wound, taking advantage of your opportunities, hitting your free throws, hitting those open shots, because, you know, like we just saw, you make one or two more threes. I think they were 1 of 8 from behind the arc in the second half.
They were.
You make two more of those.
Right.
And, you know, you're looking at a different game, so they got to do stuff like that.
Right, they have to. I mean, that's, again, it comes down to the ability to hit shots. If they're tough shots and they're defended, you can talk about a team's defense, or you can talk about your lack of the ability to get an open shot in your offense. But they had open shots all over the place on Saturday.
Yeah, and I think really, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, online and offline and on the radio and in private about, you know, the difference that Tony Carr would have made on this team. And I think one of the things, just from a basketball perspective, that this team does really well is they're not afraid to pass it around the arc. I mean, these guys will make three passes before they find somebody
right.
on their good possessions. And I don't think it would have run the same way, you know, with Tony, but I think you're absolutely right that, you know, you've got to get good shots. You've got to find good shots. Sometimes you can't because of good defense, but usually, you know, if you're doubled or covered tight, somebody's a little bit more open somewhere else, so you got to find them.
Obviously, in the long tenure of doing this, I've done some seasons where there have been a series of 20-point losses, and I don't mean like 3 or 4 20-point losses. I've done some seasons where there have been 5 to 10 20-point losses. In other words, non-competitive. This team's now had 10 games go to the last minute, and they're 2-8 in those games. Is this team, in your opinion, a competitive team that's looking to get that next step?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you go competitive defined by, you know, this game is close down to the very end and you've got an opportunity to win it, then, you know, you can't argue that the past really 3 years or so of Penn State basketball, and certainly there have been years sprinkled around there that are competitive, but I think, you know, they're absolutely a competitive team. They've got their weaknesses, they've got their issues they've got to figure out, and some of it's self-inflicted and some of it's been bad luck. But, you know, I think as much as we look back at that Maryland game where Maryland had, I don't remember the disparity off the top of my head anymore, but, you know, this sort of ridiculous free throw disparity throughout that game, in Penn State, you know, short of a really deep three really late in that game, was in it the whole way despite that. So I think, you know, if you talk about competitiveness, about the ability to be in a game when there's less than 5 minutes to go, you've got an opportunity to win. You know, it's hard to argue that these guys aren't.
Ben, thanks so much. Appreciate your time, as always.
Yep, thanks for having me, Steve.
Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. Coming up in the next half hour, we'll talk with Andrew Callahan from MassLive.com. Yes, some Patriots talk. I know our area is aching for it. They love hearing more about the Patriots. Hello?
Well, you know, since Tom's going to play till he's 45, right? So he says.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
All right, one other note on Penn State basketball, and that is this. The Big Ten has got to do a better job, and this is on the conference. I know scheduling's hard. It ranks right up there with the Manhattan Project. I got it, okay? What makes it hard is because of all the TV components. But how do you have a team that plays 10 conference home games, and last Saturday, where they drew over 13,000, or at least they sold tickets over 13,000, okay? How do you have that Saturday game be the one and only Saturday game that you play in the conference? That's it. That was it. That was the one. Well, no, you played Sunday. Sunday's a weekend off. Okay, Saturday is without question the single biggest draw for Penn State. You can't give them 3 out of 10? 3? 3 out of 10 when the students are here? You can't give them 3? I didn't say give them 10. I didn't say give them 5. I said 3. They gave them 1. Now, you're a revenue-sharing sport, football, men's basketball, revenue-sharing. It's done on a sliding scale. Penn State's contribution, by the way, from Saturday is going to be on the upward end of that scale. As a conference, don't you sit there and look at that stuff and say, you know what, you know, we can, you know, in terms of ticket revenue and so forth, if we give Penn State a couple more, it's going to help everything out? I don't get that stuff. That stuff makes no sense to me, and I don't want to hear about the Sunday games. I don't want to hear it. Sunday is not a normal college sports day. I realize that Penn State wrestles on Sunday a lot, but if you notice all the Jordan Center ones that they've wrestled, not all, but most of them have ended up being Fridays or Saturdays. Because they know. I mean, how do you look at a revenue-sharing sport whose best history is drawing on Saturdays? Best history is drawing on Saturdays. We got all the proof left and right. And the conference gives them one Saturday home game all season. I mean, they obviously play on weekends with the Sunday games, but one Saturday game? Come on.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.